Let's get more of those on the National Football League from my next guest. He's been coming on my show for 29-plus years. From ProFootballGuru.com, our buddy Russell Baxter. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Jody. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing
this
well.
Morning.
This morning, tonight, today. We'll make it up any way you want. Before we break down individual deals and teams and the like, I want to ask you an overall question. Other than the Kirk Cousins deal, which is pretty damn big, and every dollar of it guaranteed, didn't see that one coming. But all the other deals that came down today, and there were plenty of them. I know it doesn't become official till tomorrow, but there were a lot of deals made today, a lot of deals agreed to. Nothing jumped out at me as outrageous. That despite a bunch of teams having a lot of money underneath the cap, other than Cousins becoming the highest paid player in the game, was there another deal that you said, wow, he might be able to play, but he's not worth that kind of money?
No, I agree with you. I think teams went out and were very, very sensible. The more aggressive teams were very busy today. I mean, we expected the Browns to do their share of signing. That complement the trades that also become official today. I really like what the Chicago Bears did in terms of surrounding Mitch Trubisky with weapons. They got him three offensive weapons and three guys who can kind of get downfield in Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton, who, by the way, Trey Burton can also throw a touchdown pass to Mitch Trubisky. That'll come in handy as well. So, no, I agree with you. Other than the Cousins deal, which could wind up being something very unprecedented, everybody seemed like they had a plan. And the funny thing is, you know, you look after what happened in the process today, which, like you just said, does not become official. Can you only imagine what it's going to be like the next 2 days when it does become official?
Well, but how many really big names are left out there? And Ndamukong Suh, because he just got added to the mix, a couple of late released free agents might not have come off the board today because teams didn't know they were going to become available. They might have thought there was a possibility, but haven't done all their scouting work on him. I haven't had a chance to talk to his agent as extensively as you want. But there are only a couple of big names left, so I don't know how much more crazed it can get.
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind tomorrow is you've got to get to the cap. And for the teams that are close to the cap and are looking to also deal players, I don't think we're done necessarily with teams trading players. I mean, obviously, late in the afternoon, we saw Jordy Nelson get cut because the Packers wound up not only signing Jimmy Graham, they went up and got Muhammad Wilkerson as well. So I don't think we're done necessarily with trades. You know, players looking or teams looking to unload players, you know, still salary cap reason, but also a change of pace for them as well. So I want to see what's still out there. I think there might be a surprise or two. And as you know, a lot of times you see these, you know, last-minute deals where a guy who hits the market, you're not expecting to hit the market. I don't think it was a super surprise Jordy Nelson hit the market at all. But there's also, Jody, you also keep in mind the salary cap cuts that took place earlier.
Right.
Over the last couple of weeks, a lot of those guys still don't have jobs as well.
True. And like Ndamukong Suh is a big name out there. We'll see how that shakes out. I don't know if you use it at all, sporttrack.com. They're pretty darn good with keeping track of the cap. I know the Eagles just renegotiated with Lane Johnson, which saved them a bunch of money and the like, and they actually were the only team that was way over the cap. They now are officially under by less than $1 million, so they can't do much of anything until they free up some more money if they're going to add players. But every team is now at least underneath the cap. There's four teams with under $7 million, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Miami, and Philadelphia. So those teams, you're right, have to still make some decisions if they're going to get into the free agency mix, but at least everybody is under it this time. You mentioned Jordy Nelson, and he had a $12 million cap number, and supposedly the Packers asked him to stay, but at a reduced number, and it was way too reduced for Jordy to accept. I know he's got a visitation with Oakland tomorrow. People are already talking about how great a fit he'd be with New England. I think he's got something left in the tank. I know he's getting old. I know he's coming off an injury. And some people make the argument that Aaron Rodgers can make any wide receiver look good. But I still like Jordy Nelson's skills. I think he could really help a team next year. How about you?
I don't think there's any question about it. And, you know, how can you really judge anybody from the Packers' numbers this past season when, you know, when Aaron Rodgers missed nine games. And how can you bet against Jordy Nelson? Remember 2015, the summer in Pittsburgh, he injured his knee. He missed the entire season. He came back big the following year. He was NFL Comeback Player of the Year that year. Again, you look at his numbers this past season, but you look at the Packers in general. I mean, they missed the playoffs for the first time after eight straight seasons. And, you know, I understand some of the, you know, Randall Cobb and some of the other guys put up respectable numbers, but, you know, it was kind of a lost year for him. Yes, he's getting older, but yes, he's pretty savvy. And I expect him to step in with somebody and help them immediately.
All right, Russell Baxter from Pro Football Guru, our guest here on the Fan. Let's get New York specific. Jets and Giants. First, a comparison question. James Stewart, a more accomplished back than Isaiah Crowell, but also a certainly older back than Isaiah Crowell, who helped their running game more with their running back acquisition in free agency. Jets or Giants?
I think it's the Jets. Crowell is a guy who's led the Browns, I think, in rushing each of the last 3 years. And by the way, for the most part, played behind a pretty respectable offensive line with the Cleveland Browns until they started giving away players the last couple of years when they let Alex Mack and Mitchell Schwartz walk away. I think he's a solid addition for the Jets. I like a lot of what the Jets did. I know people will be head scratching maybe on the quarterbacks, but late in the day they picked up Avery Williamson, the inside linebacker from the Tennessee Titans, highly productive in his 4 years with the Titans. As for the Giants, Jonathan Stewart makes sense. It's a Gettleman guy from down in Carolina. The Giants are in the midst of having to revamp that offensive line, so I'll take a wait-and-see approach when it comes to that. Obviously, you know, Weston Richburg, who reports weren't they weren't going to bring him back. He signed with San Francisco 49ers. Justin Pugh is still sitting out there as well. So I would give the edge to the running back in terms of youth and maybe a guy who's a little bit under the radar in Crowell because he's played on a team that's won what? You know, one game over the last 2 years.
Right, and that you can't hold against him. He's not the reason, main reason why the Browns won one game in 2 years. We can agree on that. What did Sam Bradford do right? Was he born under the right star? Was he a good kid? Is he being rewarded for something? Because no one has done less for $134 million in the history of the NFL, maybe in all of sports, than Sam Bradford.
Well, he was fortunate enough to be part of that draft class of 2010, Jody, which was the last class before they started slotting the rookies. You know, he got that big six-year deal back then. It was funny, he was Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2010, even though he had, you know, kind of mediocre stats, you know, missed six games the following year, started all 16 games his third year in the league. So, you know, he was kind of a regular on a bad team. Then the injuries started coming, you know, he missed an entire season. But, you know, kind of, I guess, in the right place at the right time, he gets dealt to Philadelphia and he gets dealt to Minnesota. And he has a year at Minnesota where he leads the league in completion percentage. But lo and behold, he gets hurt again this past year. So he's had a, you know, even though Forrest Gump was a better kickoff returner, in terms of being able to be in the right place at the right times, he's been very Gump-esque.
That's a very good way to describe it. That's why we talked to Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com. The Patriots end up losing Dion Lewis. They lose Danny Amendola. These guys have helped this team win Super Bowls in previous years. Do we just assume they'll find guys to fill in for them because Belichick always does?
Well, it's kind of hard not to say they won't. You know, to me, there's still the concerns with the Patriots are the defense, and obviously Malcolm Butler signed with the Tennessee or will sign with the Tennessee Titans officially tomorrow. So, I mean, you can, you know, jump all over the map with that. He kind of had an off year, but he's been a good player for them for the majority of the time. You know, I go back to New England's defense. You know, Dion Lewis, part of a, you know, backfield by committee. Danny Amendola, you know, they expect to have Julian Edelman back next year. You know, they didn't have him the whole season. They find ways to score points, but they have to find ways to stop people. I always go back, you know, it wasn't that long ago, the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles was kind of a bookend moment. And even though their defense, Jody, played better as the season wore on, tell me what you make of this number. It's almost scary. Week one against the Chiefs, gave up 537 yards and 42 points. Super Bowl against the Eagles, gave up 538 yards and 41 points.
Wow. I didn't know that they were that close, huh?
I mean, you want to talk about mirror images. You know, one yard off and 1 point off. Against a similar style offense of Andy Reid and Doug Peterson's.
That is true. All right, did the Giants get screwed today with Crowell going to the Jets? Does that signify for you that the Cleveland Browns are going to take Saquon Barkley with the number one pick in the draft?
It would seem to make sense. And listen, I'm only going to do simple math here. You know, we've people, depending on how they feel about the quarterback, Jody, there's three quarterbacks out there the teams expect to go high. There's one running back the teams expect to go high. The Cleveland Browns have the first pick and the fourth pick. So common sense would say that he would go. Now, and you know what's really funny?
Now, let me interrupt for a second. You said three quarterbacks, and I think you're doing math between one and four. But do you honestly rank three guys ahead of who the four? Because most people group four together and then a drop-off. Are you saying you've got three and then a drop-off to four when you're talking about Rosen, Darnold, Allen, and Baker Mayfield?
No, I'm talking about one running back and three quarterbacks.
Okay, but those four quarterbacks, do you rank them similarly, or if there's a drop-off between those, where is it?
You know me, I don't get to see as much at the college game as the pro game and so on. You know, I can only go by what I'm hearing out there, and depending on who you like, those are the candidates. So, to me, if you have the first pick and the fourth pick, common sense tells me that you have your pick of the quarterbacks, but you can also get the running back and one of those quarterbacks if you feel strongly about it. So let's not forget that Tyrod Taylor is there now. He's a stopgap measure in the long run. The Browns will probably look for a quarterback. But riddle me this. Why is it that in some people's eyes, Saquon Barkley can't be taken number one and be successful, but he can go number two and be successful?
Yeah, that's just stupid.
That's just moronic, okay? Well, I know we haven't seen a running back taken in the first overall since Kajana Carter in 1995. And because he got hurt, I guess, and because he went to Penn State, we're going to assume that his career is going to be, Barkley's career isn't going to be the same. If you think teams who are successful in the draft rate their board and they stick to their board, they don't panic. I always go back to 2003, Jody. And you'll remember that year. It's the year the Vikings passed in the first round. And things kind of went crazy after that. And I remember Ozzie Newsome in the Baltimore Ravens didn't expect Terrell Suggs to be there at 10. And they took him. And he's still there, by the way. Okay? Because even though he wasn't their top need at the position, he was their number one player on the board. If you think Barkley is the number one player on the board and you're the Cleveland Browns, you take them, and then you figure out the quarterback situation. And by the way, I mean, how many picks do they have in the first two rounds? So, it's a new regime. John Dorsey comes over from the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a team that did not turn over the football a lot. Tyrod Taylor doesn't turn over the football a lot. You get one of those young quarterbacks, you let him sit behind him, and then you can see what you get from Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, will play against behind a more than respectable offensive line with the Browns.
We will get you back on again when we get closer to the draft. Russell, always a pleasure. Thanks for a couple minutes of insight tonight.
You got it, sir.
Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com. Follow him on Twitter, @BaxFootballGuru.